Today's shiur begins at the beginning of a new perek on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph in Maseches Bava Basra. The perek deals with the sale of a boat and what's contained therein. At the beginning of the perek, we're going to encounter a large section of Agoda, very well-known Agadic text featuring Rabbo Bar Bar Chana, and others. Before we begin the Gemara, we advise printing out the daf, and even better, ordering your volume of the Shas Ozer pre-marked edition. The Gemara begins, the Mishnah begins, Hamocher es hasfina, mochar es haturen ves hanes ves haugin, ves kol ha-manhigin oisa. The Gemara will deal with each one of these expressions, offering an Aramaic explanation of these words. At this point, it's also recommended to have a copy of the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that accompanies Maseches Bava Basra, authored by Rav Chaim Porush. If you do have that, then illustration 620 will be of benefit. The Mishnah told us that one who sells a boat, the buyer gets those items that are essential to the boat, part of the boat. For example, the toren is a reference to the mast, the nes is the sail, the ugin, the anchor, and kol ha-manhigin osa, those are the oars. As we said before, these things will be explained by the Gemara itself. The Mishnah continues, avo loy mochar, lo esu avodim, velo esu martzufin, velo esu antiki. These things likewise will be dealt with later in the Gemara. Uvizman she'omar lo, hi v'chol ma she'basoicha. When the seller says, I'm selling you it, the boat, and everything in it, hare kulon mechurin. The topic that we're dealing with, it's illustrated on the side. In our marked edition, we have notes that indicate topic headings and structural notes. The nosei, ma kolul velo kolul b'mechira sfina, what's included and what's not included in the sale of a boat. The mivneh, the structural mark, notation, features the double underline here. Double underline is part of a series marking. Those markings that indicate something repetitive. We use geometric forms and double underlines to indicate thusly. The Gemara begins, Toren. Each one of the words that we've double underlined, you'll notice, are words that were found in the Mishnah. And the note on the side, which we should read before we go on in the Gemara, it says, Milim shofiu b'mishnah, words that appear in the Mishnah, Gemara, Tefarish Osam. The Gemara will explain them and add psukim to these things. Toren, the Gemara says, equals Iskaria, mast. In fact, if you look in the Rashbam, you notice that word. V'chein hu omer, erez milavanon lokohu, lasois toren olayach. The Rashbam addresses this pasuk and he says, V'chein hu omer erez milavanon, raya ledovor de toren de masnisin, hainu iskaria. The pasuk serves as a proof that toren of the Mishnah is iskaria, is a reference to a mast. Shoa iskaria me erez, o me ilon gavoa oisin oisa. Since in the pasuk you see a reference to toren and you also see erez, so we associate the toren with something that you would make from erez. Erez being a type of wood that's associated with the manufacture of masts. Continuing in the Gemara, nes equals adra, a sail. V'chein hu omer, shesh berikmo mimitzrayim hoya, mifrosech liyois loch lenes. The Rashbam here, v'chein hu omer, dahainu adra, she'osui mipishtim v'kanvus min beged. The pasuk makes a reference to sheish. Sheish is linen, pishtan. And mifrosech are sails. So you see that the nace that's referred to at the end of the pasuk is something made from linen, and that something is mifrosech. Mifrosech are sails. And hence, adra, which is the familiar word to the Gemara, that refers to a sail. Continuing, ugin, toni bichia, elu, uginin, shela. Those are its anchors. In Hebrew, the word is ogen. V'chein hu omer. The posuk indicates that the word igun is a reference to something restraining. Ha-lohen tesaberno ad asher yigdolu. Ha-lohen te'ogeno levilti heyois le'ish. The end of the posuk is what's important for us. Te'ogeno means to be restrained. Levilti heyois le'ish, a reference to not get married. In other words, a reference to a woman being restrained from getting married. But for our purposes, ugin is a reference to anchor, that which restrains the boat from sailing. Manhigin, another word that was found in the Mishnah, as you can see from the double underline. Amar Rabbi Abba, elu ha mashotin, the oars, shela, the boat's oars. V'chein hu oimer. The following posuk is a posuk dealing with boats. Alonim mi boshan asu mi shotayich. The Rashbam's commentary on this posuk indicates that the purpose of the posuk here is to teach that meshotayach, that oars, are an essential element of the boat, and hence included in the sail. The role of the posuk here, it would appear, is different from before. Before, the psukim were coming to serve to explain the words. Here, the posuk, which is dealing with boats, is demonstrating that mishotayach, that oars, are an essential part of the boat. V'boyis eimo mehocha, or you can see from here that the oars are an essential part of the boat. V'yordu me'o niyosehem kol toifsei moshot. The oniyosehem reference to boats. All those that are, it says in the posuk, they will descend from boats, all those that hold the oars. Tanu Rabbanan. We now encounter a few lines that are in a frame. In our marking system, framed sections are Tanaic sources, whether they be Mishnayos or Brises, that the Gemara quotes along the way. The frame helps to distinguish that which is of Tanaic origin from the rest of the Gemara. Hamocher es hasfina, mochar es ha'iskalo, v'es bor hamayim shebesoicha. The one who sells a boat is including in the sale is the iskala, the ramp that leads to the boat, and the bor mayim, which would be a fresh water supply, that a container of fresh water that is used for people sailing in boats on the high seas. Rabbi Noson Omer, Hamocher es hasfina, mochar es ha-bitzis. We're going to see a discussion concerning this word. For our purposes, it's a reference to a small boat. These were small boats that might be like lifeboats, but the Rashbam explains they were used for in large sailing vessels that couldn't draw near to the shore because of they would have become wedged in the seabed because of the weight of the boat as it weighs down in the water. Hence, you would need some type of light boat that can approach the shore for people to get on shore with. Sumchus Omer, hamocher es hasfina, mochar es hadugis. The Gemara points out, Omar Rava, bitzis hainu dugis. These two words are both references to the same thing, small boats. If that be the case, so Sumchus and Rabbi Noson, what are they arguing about? One who is familiar with Gemara learning knows that two names that appear in the same source unless otherwise stated, they must be arguing with each other or saying one says something the other one didn't say. In this case, they're saying essentially the same thing. So the Gemara answers, true, they are the same thing. Why the difference in words? The Gemara explains, Rabbi Nosson Bavlohu, he comes from Bovel, Kori lo Butzis. He refers to small boats by that term, Kidamri Inchi, as is well known, Butziosa Demeshan. This is really a reference to Sugyan Shabbos, dealing with small boats that travel on rivers. These small boats are called Butziosa, hence the word that Rabbi Nosson used in the source. Meshan, the Rashbam, refers here to a name of a river. Sumchus, the Bar Eretz Yisrael, Sumchus whose origin was Eretz Yisrael, Kori lo Dugis, refers to these small boats by that term, basing himself on a posuk, Kedechtiv, Vachrischen Pesiros Duga. The Rashbam here says, Vachrischen Pesiros Duga, Besfinos Ketanos Kekederos, small boats that were like pots, Akrius Duga, Vekalim Alpenei Mayim, and are swift on the water surface, Yolichu Eschem Mehira Begolus. Posuk is a reference to being taken into exile, so the reference here is used as a quick exile, hence the traveling on small boats which travel swiftly. On the side, the outside margin, we have a note, Nosei Kloli. And we have noted in parentheses, Ad Ayin Heyamid Beis. That means that this topic is going to continue until Ayin Heyamid Beis, which means three daf of Gemara. Agodos Shel Rabo Bar Chana V'Oid. These are agadic texts which feature primarily Rabo Bar Chana, but other Rabbonin will appear as well. The Mivneh, the structural notation, here explains the role of the diamond. If you have if you already own a volume of the Shas Ozer, you can simply flip the pages, next few daf till Ayin Dalet Omid Beis. You'll see diamonds appearing. The role of the diamond here is, as is stated in the note, Mesamein Tchilo Shel Maisa, will be featuring the beginning of these particular incidents. There are numerous incidents that will be appearing in the coming pages. There's a double underline with dots in it to distinguish it from the double underline above, which had no dots, because this is a new series. And in the marking system, there is no inherent significance to any one given geometric form. They all have the same role, and it's to highlight different series. But in order to distinguish one series from another, we vary the shape. This double underline is going to be featuring Ishto li Nechusi Yama. The seafarers, sailors or seafarers, told me, Ishtoli, as they spoke, they told me stories. We're also going to be using a squiggle underline under the expression L'didi Chazili, where the speaker will be saying, I saw thusly. When we get to Amud Beis, we'll encounter more markings and we'll explain them as we go along. Most importantly, though, is to introduce the Gemara by what the Marsha, very famous commentator from the early Achronim period, giving him a great deal of weight in terms of Gemara commentary, very, very significant authority, who deals, is well known in his dealing with Agadic sources, in addition to his famous commentary on Rashi and Tosfos. He says that these stories, though they have a simple meaning, in other words, the simple translation of these stories has significance. In other words, even though we're going to be encountering things that seem to be otherworldly, one doesn't necessarily have to dismiss them as being as non-existing and their role is merely that of parable nature, or to serve as a moshel, an example of something. So there is a simple level of understanding. However, the presence in the Gemara is is such that we're trying to communicate a message as well. In other words, we're taking things that may very well exist in nature, though we haven't seen them necessarily, but not seeing doesn't indicate something doesn't exist. All the same, the presence of these stories in the Gemara, the Marsha points out, is here to communicate some type of message of deeper meaning. So that if someone might be uncomfortable in his initial learning with the simple meaning and ask, what in the world is this doing over here? One has only to look into the wonderful commentaries that exist on this. The first and foremost would be the Marsha, and there are other famous commentaries. The Vilna Gaon has a sefer dedicated to these agodas, and there are other very prominent meforshim commentaries that deal with this. In the context of our shiurim, we're basically going to be focusing on the translation, leaving the deeper, magnificent explanations for each one of you to pursue in a different context. Continuing in the Gemara. Omar Rabba. The Rashbam points out, and we'll take a look at what he says on the spot. You'll notice the asterisk in the Rashbam wide lines. Omar Rabba, Ishtoli, Kol, Hani, Uvdi, all of the incidents, the Kochoshiv, that are mentioned over here, Mishum Ma Rabu Masecho Hashem. They're here to create a sense of awe of the Creator's workings. V'yesh Mehen Lohudia Matan Schoran Shosigim Losulavo. Some of these incidents are here to describe the reward achieved by tzaddikim that they'll benefit from in the future. Oh, the Farish Mikros Amurim B'Sefer Iyov, Amidabrim B'Oifes Gedolim, U'Behemos V'Dogim Gedolim. Or, these Algodas are here to illustrate the meaning behind the Psukim in Sefer Iyov, where you find descriptions of large birds, animals, and sea creatures. Shekol Sichas Talmidei Chachomim Tzricho Talmud. Very interesting expression. The Rashbam seems to be referring to Psukim in Iyov by the term Sichas Talmidei Chachomim. One can rest assured, at the very least, the Psukim would be categorized as Sichas Talmidei Chachomim, because the Sefer Iyov is part of the Tanakh. It's part of the 24 books that constitute a divine piece of work. Hence, it's interesting that the Rashbam refers to this as Sichas Talmidei Chachomim. But all the same, the Gemara says elsewhere that darshing the pasuk in Tehillim, the aleu lo yibol, even the leaves of the plant will not wither. Leaves being the non-essential part of the plant, as contrast, let's say, to the fruit that grows on the plant. The leaves, even the leaves, are of significance. Hence, a reference to even the seemingly simple talk of Talmidei Chachamim, of sages, is not to be discounted, but rather pay attention and try to understand the common speech of Talmidei Chachamim. That's as far as the Rashbam's introduction. So our Gemara continues, Omar Rabba, Ishto li Nechusei Yoma. It was told to me by the seafarers, Hai Gala, Demitba Lesvina. There was a wave on the seas that seemed to attempt to drown our boat. Mishazi ki tsusisa denura chivrasa beresha. There appeared to be a bolt of white fire that led in front of the wave. This bolt of white fire was a maloch mazik. That's as far as the Rashbam is concerned. He says it was a type of angelic force that was of a destructive nature. So we're encountering here a threatening wave that's being led by this dangerous maloch, dangerous angel. U mochinon le be'alvisa the chokik ole, and we beat it, we hit it with staffs, with sticks that etched onto the sticks were the following words, and we have them in quotation marks. Ekhye asher ekhye ko Hashem tzfokos omein omein sela. And after being hit with this stick, v'nayach, and it ceased to threaten us. Omar Rabo, ishtoli nechusi yama, ben gola legola tlas mea parsi. The seafarers told me that between the waves was a distance of 300 parsa. 300 parsa, every parsa has 4 mil in it. A mil being approximately a kilometer. So 300 parsa would be 1200 kilometers, approximately. Veruma v'gola tlas mea parsi. And the height of the waves in this story were 300 parsa. You're dealing with something very tall, very high. Zimno chada ava azlinon b'urcha. Once I was on my way, v'dalinon gola ad d'chazinon bei marbase d'koch v'zuta. I was on my way, and dalinon gola, a gal, a wave, raised me until d'chazinon, until we were able to see bei marbase d'koch v'zuta is where the resting place of what ordinarily appears as a small star. So I was waved, I was raised by the wave to heights, I guess, rivaling the Hubble telescope. And at that point, I was able to perceive that which on the ground appears as a speck of light in the sky. V'havyali kemivzar Arboyan Grivi Bizra the Hardala. It appeared like an area of Mivzar is the scattering of 40 Sa'a. Arboyan Grivi, 40 Sa'a of Bizra, of seeds of Hardala, of a plant called Hardala, often translated as mustard. In the Chazal, the term Hardala is a reference to something that's of a very, very small nature, a speck. So this seed is a type of seed that to us would appear as dust. So if you were to imagine taking this quantity of dust, our boing grivi, 40 sa'a, which is a large amount of this dust, and scattering it, and each speck represents a star, you can imagine that what the Rav here, Rabba, was perceiving, what he was noticing then, that what one might call today, possibly, a galaxy. In other words, on ground, we would see it as a speck of light. That's what we call the unaided eye. If one were to position a telescope at some of those specks of light, today, one would notice the speck of light, in fact, containing billions of stars. And those numbers constitute a galaxy of stars. And we're noticing the Chazal, the Rabbanon, many, many years before Galileo and his invention, also having this awareness that specks of light, as they appear to us with the unaided eye, in fact contain much, much more than what we think. So Rabba told us that he had this. He was able to see this, and he continues in the Gemara, V'i dalinon tfei, if the wave would have raised us more, hava maklinon mehevle, we would have been burnt from the heat of emanating from those stars. Indicating, once again, it's not merely little points of light, but the Chazal had awareness that these sources of light were in fact what we would call today suns. V'romi la gala kola l'chavrei, and the wave screamed out to its fellow wave. So we have the image right now of these very tall waves that if uncontrolled, they would essentially inundate the land. So one wave shouted to the other, Chavirti, my fellow wave, Shafkis midi ba'amo, delo shatfasei, denesi ano v'nechreve. Leave something uninundated so that I could come along and destroy. The Rashbam says, v'nechreve, leave something for me to destroy. He says, mitnei avon hador, a reference to sin. This idea, of course, one in the Chumash already notices when he learns Parshas Noach. Omerle, so the wave said to his friend, he said, you think I'm coming to inundate the world? Pok chazi gevurta demorech. Go out and see the strength of your master, namely the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The afilu maloi chuta dechola, even a thin thread of sand, meaning the shore relative to the sea, is basically no more than a thread. So the maloi chuta dechola, this thin strip of sand, less the ovar. Generally speaking, water never crosses the shore. The shore thereby is able to contain, to hold back the forces, the great forces like us, namely the waves. Shenemar, Ha'oisi, the Shenemar, the Rashbam points out, is the Gemara is speaking over here. The Gemara is not as opposed to the wave. The Gemara is saying, Ha'oisi lo tiro, ne'um Hashem, im miponai lo tochilu, Asher Santi Choyl Gvul Layom Choyk Oilom Velo Yavrenu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is appealing to his listener and saying that the sea is bounded by the Choyl, the sand, which is a border, a Gvul, for the sea, and there is a rule of nature that Kodesh Baruch Hu created, that's Choyk Oilom Velo Yavrenu, that won't be crossed. Omar Rabba, Lididi Chazi Li, Hurman Bar Lilis. This is the name of a force known as a Mazik. Very, very hard for us to translate this. We'll have to say it's some type of spiritual entity that will henceforth refer to either by the term Shade or Mazik. So there's this Mazik, Herman, son of Lilian, or Lilis. Kiko rohit akufya deshura de machuza. I saw it running along the top of the wall of machuza. And to give you a feeling of the speed of this entity, this mazik, as it was running along the top of the wall, the rohit parsha, there was a horseman riding his horse, ki rochiv susya mitatoi, while the horseman was riding his horse underneath it, on the ground, at the base of the wall, running alongside the wall, velo yochilei, and this horseman could not overtake the mazik. Zimnochada, hava misargon lei tarti kudnaisa. Once upon a time, the following took place. There were two mules that were saddled up. There's an illustration in the Pirush Chai 6:23. These two mules were saddled up. V'kaimon atrei gishri derugnag. They were walking along two parallel bridges, crossing the river Rugnag. V'shavor mehai lahai u'mehai lahai. This mazik, Herman Ben or Bar Lilis, was jumping from one mule to the other, v'nokit trei kosi dechamro biyodei, while he was holding two cups of wine, umurik mehai lahai umehai lahai, and he was pouring from one cup to the other, v'lo natfa nituftah la'ara, and not one drop fell groundwards. V'oiso hayom, and this incident took place on a particular day that was a very stormy day. V'oiso hayom yalu shamayim yordu tahoimois have, using the pasuk to illustrate a storm, ad deshamu bei malchusa. This incident took place with the mazik, this spiritual figure, this shade, who was jumping back and forth, doing his antics, until the kingdom heard of it, the bei malchusa. We'll explain it momentarily. Ve katluhu, and they eliminated the mazik. The Rashbam offers two explanations. The first explanation is that the Malchus here, the kingdom, is a reference to the kingdom of Shadim. So the Shade government heard about this and they eliminated him. The Rashbam explains, She'ein darku shel Shade, baharos of Nei Odom. Because it's not characteristic of Shadim to become apparent to people. They're supposed to remain invisible. And this Shade violated the norm, and that disturbed them. The second version is in the Rashbam. It's the regular earthly government of the Caesar, who was fearful that this Mazik might usurp power from him. Continuing in the Gemara. Omar Rabba, Lididi Chazili Urzila Bar Yoimei. I saw, Urzila is the name of a creature called a Re'em, some type of creature. We can in Hebrew refer to it as a Re'em. And it was one day old, and it was very large. Dahave Kahar Tavor. It was as big as Mount Tabor. Fahar Tavor Kamahave, and how big is Mount Tabor? Arba Parsi, four Parsa, the 16 kilometers. U Mashcha de Tzavre, and the length of its neck, Tlosa Parsi, three Parsa in length. Be Marbisa de Reshe, the area that its head took up, Marbisa. This refers to lying down. So when the spot that the head would be resting on took up parsa upalga, took up that amount of space. And one more feature, Roma kufsa v'sochar le liardina. Kufsa is a reference to a feces, solid waste. So when it would lay, when it would emit a piece of its solid waste, it was so large it would dam up, Sochar, dam up the Yardane, the Jordan River. V'omar Rabo Barbachano. L'didi chazioli hahi akroksa. The translation of akroksa, the Rashbam says, is tsvardea, a frog, and interestingly the word akroksa sounds like croak, which we associate often with the noise emitted by frogs. All the same, there was this tsvardea, dehavye ki akra dehagrunya. It was as big as this place called Akra dehagrunya. The Akra dehagrunya, kamahavye, how big is that? Answer, shisin boti. It's like a neighborhood composed of 60 houses. Also tanina bol'a. Another creature came along, a creature called a tanin, came and consumed, it swallowed this tsvardea. Also, pushkansa ubola latanina, and a bird known as pushkansa, one might translate it as a female orev being the name of a type of bird, came and swallowed the tanin. we read here in the Gemara, Ubala Latanina, Vesalik Yosef Beilna, and this bird, as all birds do, fluttered up and sat on a tree. With all these sizes in mind, we had the frog that was the area of 60 houses, and then the tanin that swallowed it, and the bird that swallowed the tanin, and the bird now sat in the tree. You can imagine the size of the tree. Tachazi kama nofish chele dilna. Come see the and be amazed at the strength of the tree. Omar Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, ilo havoi hasam lo hemne. If I wasn't there, I wouldn't believe it. The Omar Rabba Bar Bachana. We are encountering now a new marking, the double underline, and we'll see the volcano marking shortly. So we'll take a glance at our structural note to appreciate this. The Mivnes note on the side has the double underline, Zimno Chada, basically one time, or many storytellers begin their stories by saying once upon a time. Aramaic, Zimno Chada. The volcano shape features Have Ko Azlinon. I was going along. I was going along, sometimes it's going to be Besfinta, and that's with this dashed underline. And some other times, you'll notice the Havi Ko Azlinon with dots under the expression, Bimadbara, I was going along in the desert. And that you'll see later on the page. So we wanted to feature Havi Ko Azlinon, sometimes Besfinta, or Havi Azlinon, I was going along, Bimadbara, in the desert. Hence the use of these markings. Continuing in the Gemara. The Omar Rabba Bar Bachana, Zimno Chada, Hava Kozlinon Besfinta, Vechazinon Hahu Kavra, I was going along in a boat, and I noticed a fish, the Yasfale Ochlotina B'usya. And Ochlotina is a reference to some type of small sherets, some type of worm creature or insect creature. And it sat the usya, it sat in this fish's nostril. Umis, and the fish died. The adhuhu maya, and the water pushed or cast ashore this fish, vishadua laguda, and cast it, shadua is cast it, laguda to the shore, to the guda. The choruv mine shisin mechozi. And with the impact of the fish being cast on the shore, 60 regions were destroyed. The ochul mine shisin mechozi, and 60 other regions of populations came and ate from the meat of this fish. Umolchu mine shisin mechozi, and they were 60 other regions. Molchu refers to melech, which is a salt or a preservative. They had the remaining meat of the fish. They were able to salt away to preserve enough for 60 areas. Umolu mechad galgula diene, and they were able to fill up from one eyeball of this fish. Tlas mea garvi mashcha, 300 barrels of oil. In other words, the fish eye made of some type of substance similar to oil, and that gives you a feeling of the size of its eyeball. V'chi hadron v'ason lebosar treisa yarchi shasa, and when we came back a year later to that spot, chazino davakom minsuri migarmi, or there's a girsa adds here, havakom minsuri kshuri migarmi, I noticed that they were minsuri sawing, to saw kshuri beams. They were forming beams, migarmi, from its bones. Viyasvi lemivninu hanoch mechuzi. And they were in the process of reconstructing the 60 regions that were destroyed from the impact of this fish. Viyoma rabba barbachana, zimno chada, hava ko azlinon besfinta. I was once going along in a boat, v'chazinon hahu kavra, the yasfale chosa agabe. And I noticed that there was an accumulation of sand on its back. The kodach agmo iluya. And kodach, there start to grow agmo, grasses, on its back. Savrinon, we thought, yabashta he, that it's an island, it's yabosha, dry land, an island in the sea. V'salkinon v'afinon v'bashlinon agabe, and we went ashore, what we thought was ashore, and started to bake and cook on its back, using fire. V'kad ham gabe, and when it got hot, ishapich, the fish flipped over. The ilav dav mikrova svinta have tavinon, and if not for the fact that our boat was nearby, we would have drowned. I saw in one of the Mefarshim the following explanation. The idea of the fish and the island forming on it is essentially an example, a mushal, to the different stations in the long diaspora, in the golos period, the period of exile. And the Jew, in his different travelings, or expulsions, if you will, is trying to find some peace in the sea of exile. And oftentimes the Jewish community finds a welcoming country. It starts to get comfortable, feeling at home, cooking and baking, feeling right at home. And sometimes it lasts even a couple hundred years, that there are Jewish communities that are able to grow and even thrive, until one day it gets a little hot. And the local non-Jewish hosts become disenchanted with their Jewish citizenry and cast them into the sea, expel them. The boat, in this particular analogy, is a reference to the Torah. And if not for the fact that we have our Torah to grab onto, to hold onto, to enable us to weather the storm of the high seas, we would have no chance of survival. Continuing in the Gemara, the Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Zimno Chada, Havi Azlinon Besfinta. I was traveling in a boat, Vesagoi Svinta Bein Shitza Leshitza De Kavra. The boat was sailing between two fins, Shitza, fins, that are protrusions on the back of some fish. In this case, the boat was traveling between the two fins of this fish. Tlosa yomi v'tlosa leovisa. This trip took 3 days, 3 nights. Ihu b'zikifa vanan b'shipula. The fish was swimming against the wind, while we were sailing with the wind, meaning we were benefiting by tailwinds, and the fish was swimming. In this case, it's in the ocean, but otherwise we would say, if it were a river, we would refer to this as upstream. So the sailors here, this boat trip has the advantage of the fish going in the opposite direction that the boat people are traveling, indicating they would cover much more ground. Because the fish was fishing against the wind, meaning, we'll say upstream for convenience sake, and them traveling downstream, so they were benefiting by, called double time. And even so, it took them 3 days. V'chitema lo miske svinta tuva, and you might question and say that, well, even so, the boat doesn't travel that quickly. Ki also Ravdimi, Omar, Ravdimi explained, kemecham kumkuma demaya in the amount of time it takes to boil up a kettle of water, Miska Shisin Parsi, this boat can travel 60 parsa. 60 times 4, 240 kilometers in a matter of minutes. Jet travel on the sea. And another description of the speed of the boat, the Shadi Parsha Gira, a horseman, can shoot an arrow, the Kodma Lay, and the boat would travel faster than the speed of a flying arrow. Now, in commenting on this, and we have a new form, the note on the side says, Rav Ashi Masbir Kamo Mehatofaot. Rav Ashi will appear in the Gemara, in this bowtie form, explaining a couple of these incidents. So in this case, the Omer Rav Ashi, Hahu, he says, that fish that was featured in the story, Gildana Diyama Havoi. It was a small fish found in the sea. The Isle Tre Shaitzi. It has two fins. See, the larger fish in the sea have only one fin in the middle of their back. The Omar Rabba Barbachana, Zimnochara, Hava Azlinon, Besfinta, the Chazinon, Hahu Tzifra. I was once traveling in the boat and I noticed a bird, Dekoim Ad Kartsule Bimaya, and it was standing in water, ankle depth. The ankle of the bird was submerged, but that's it. Vereshe Barakia, and the head of the bird was reaching the heavens. V'amrinon, we figured, Leko Maya, couldn't be too deep over here. Uboinon Lochus Lakuri Napshin, we wanted to get off the boat, go into the water to cool off. Fenofik Baskola, a heavenly voice echoed forth, the Amar Lon, and told us, Lo Techusu Hocha, don't disembark over here. The Naflis Le Chatzitza Labar Nagra Ha Shev Shani, because there fell, Naflis Le, there fell Chatzitza, axe head of owned by a woodsman, a bar nagra, person who chops wood. The axe head fell 7 years ago, velo ko matya aara, and it didn't reach the bottom of the sea yet. Velav mishum de nefishimaya. The inability of the axe head to fall, to reach the bottom, is not because of the depth, elomishum de radvi maya, because of the current, the torrent of the water. Sometimes you would have the surface of the sea looking peaceful, but they're under surface, beneath surface currents that are powerful. And yet this bird was standing there without seemingly being bothered. Omar Rav Ashi, once again Rav Ashi comments, Hahu Ziz Sodaihu. It's the Ziz Sodai bird. Dichtiv Viziz Sodai Imodi. The Omar Rabo Barbachana, Zimnochada, Haveko Azlinon Pimadbro. Once upon a time, I was traveling in the desert. The Chazinon Hano Abzi, and I noticed these geese, the Shamti Gadfaihu Mishamnaihu. Their feathers were falling out of their bodies because of the large amount of fat. The Konagdi Nachli Damashcha Mitusayu. And there appeared to be flowing rivers of oil underneath them. Amina Luhu. I addressed them, the birds, and I asked, Isli begavaihu chalko l'almod osi? Do I have a share in you in the future world? It will appear from this that this mass amount of oil represents great wealth, great reward. And he was asking, do I have a share in you? Chada doli li gadfa. One of them raised his wing. Fechada doli li atma. And the other one raised its leg. Ki asoy lekame de Rabbi Elazar. When I, Rabbi Bar Chana is telling us the story, when I came to Rabbi Elazar, told him the story, Omar li, Rabbi Elazar seemed to be aware of this, and he said, Asidin Yisrael litein alein eshadin, that the Jewish people are going to bear responsibility and possibly be punished for this phenomenon. What's the explanation? We'll take a look in the Rashbam. Litein alein eshadin, shebechatosam, because the Jews are sinning, misakev Moshiach, the Mashiach is delayed in coming. The time the Mashiach comes, then that's a period of time we can talk about receiving reward. V'yesh lahem tsar ba'alei chayim lo yisem avozim machmas shumnam. And these geese, because of the great amount of fat that they contain, are suffering. These geese apparently, and their fat representing the reward, and they can't give out the reward, they can't distribute the reward until the Moshiach comes. But as long as we, the Jewish people, are sinning, this causes the Moshiach to tarry and causes these creatures to, in the meantime, suffer. The Omar Rabo Barbachana Zimno Chada Haveko Azlinu B'Madbara. I was once going along in the desert. The Islavi Bahadon Ahu Taya. And there accompanied us an Arab merchant, a person who knew his way around the desert. The Yishma'ilim, the Arabs, are desert, are familiar with the desert, and are featured in different places in the Shas with this expertise. So this Taya, this Arab merchant, accompanied us. Davishokil Afro Umorachle. He had this unusual ability to be able to take a clump of dirt, smell it, the Omar, and tell us, and Ha Urcha Leduchta Palon, Va Urcha Leduchta Palon. With his sense of smell, he was able to identify the route to different places. Amri Le, we asked him, Kamo Marchikon Mimaya, how far are we from a source of water? The Omalon, Havuliafra, and the Arab said, give me some dirt. Yahvin Alei, we gave him some dirt. The Omalon, Marchikinon, Tamni Parsi, we're 8 parsa away. Taninon, Vyavin Alei, a little later, we did it again. Taninon is a reference to repeat, something repeated. We again, later, gave him some dirt. Omalon, the Marchikinon, Tlosa Parsi. The Arab told us we're now 3 parsa away. Afchisle velo yachilisle. He had some of the old dirt with him, and he flipped around the different clods of dirt, gave it to the Arab, trying to test him out, and they were not able to fool him. In other words, the Arab was quite expert. At this point, we will conclude our shiur for today.